Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I was reading this chapter the other day, just in my morning Bible reading. It's good to have some daily routines. And my routine is, first thing I do when I wake up, I get a cup of coffee and I read the book. Amen? I don't want to start my mornings without the Lord Jesus Christ being the center of them. So does it make you a better person? I'm not sure, but it makes me want to be and try to be. Amen. I'm not going to be perfect until I get to heaven. But while I'm here, I want to be as Christ-like as I can be. The book of Romans tonight, and the problem with the New Testament is a lot of our crowd don't like to read it. A lot of our crowd likes to get hung up in the Old Testament. Say, why is that? Because it tells you the do's and don'ts. And people have an easier time living by a bunch of rules and regulations than they do letting the law of God work in your heart. Amen. And Paul's all about the law of God working in our hearts. You read about Paul. Matter of fact, he's telling some of these Galatians. I'm reading Galatians right now. He's telling these Galatians. He said, "I'm afraid for you." So why is he afraid for him? And I don't use this word because it's in vogue. I use it because you all know what it means. He's afraid for him because they're legalists. I don't like the word legalist. Well, I don't either. That's why I try not to be one. Amen. And I understand what everybody wants to say that means. Everybody wants to say that's trying to preach the law, the gospel of law with the gospel of grace. But we know in our modern vernacular, as the language has changed, that a legalist is basically shorthand for a Pharisee. One of those guys that's got 50 more convictions than God. And we know some of those guys. We've had them in our church, and you know what we've found out? The ones that's got more convictions with God have got more skeletons in their closet that they're trying to hide from the general public. And they always come out. They always come out, Brother Joe. Amen? They do. So we're going to start in verse 9, and we're just going to go down these verses. And I'm going to show you what, just talk to you about what God talked to me about. Pastor, Sunday night, asked what is the most disobeyed chapters or verses in the Bible. And as I read these the other morning, I felt like I needed a tune-up in my Christian life. Amen? And that's the way we should approach the book. It's a tune-up. Pastor works on all these cars outside, and he's busy diagnosing the problems and all that stuff and giving them tune-ups. You know what? The book is our tune-up. The book diagnoses our problems, and we need to take this book serious. So we're going to start right here in verse number 9, and we're just going to, I won't read the passage completely just for brevity's sake, but we'll go down through and I'll explain to you a little bit what the Lord showed me the other morning, because I feel that I am guilty of falling short of some of these things that Paul is trying to tell us as Christians. And it's funny because, you know, they put the headings in the text. And the heading in mine was living the Christian life. And it started in verse 9. And I just noticed that today. I didn't notice it so much when I read it, but I noticed it today. Living the Christian life. I was, man, how appropriate. How appropriate. This is tools on Christian conduct. Verse number 9, it says this. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Now let me talk to you about a minute about this word dissimulation. Very simple. I went to the Webster's Dictionary. I did not go to the Greek because I don't speak Greek. Amen. Dissimulation simply means this. It says to make like. It says the act of dissembling, that's deception, a hiding under a false appearance, a feigning, a false pretension, hypocrisy, a dissimulation, maybe simply concealment of the opinions, sentiments, or purpose. But it includes also the assuming of a false or counterfeit appearance which conceals the real opinions or purposes. And let me stop here. I know I've just lost Jay Watson, so I need to explain. Let love be without dissimulation. It means like this. Man, Squeak, I sure do love coming over your house on Sunday afternoons. Man, I love you, brother. I love coming to your house on Sunday afternoons, and I really enjoy it. Man, you are just one of my favorite people in the church. So what am I trying to do? I'm trying to get an invite to his house because his wife's a good cook. Amen? I don't really like him. I mean, I do in real life. I'm just using this for an illustration. I don't really like him, but I like his wife's cooking. And so I'm going to use him for his wife's cooking. And I'm afraid we do that as Christians. We are good at using each other for what we can get from each other. Amen. That's called dissimulation. That is the definition of dissimulation. And we pretend to love each other, but really what we've got is this. I want something from you. Let me see what I can use you for. And then it says in the verse, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. That's very self-explanatory. Can I say this? I think over the last 4 years, Christians have traded Christianity for Trumpanity. You want to know why Trump lost the election? I'm going to tell you, it's very simple. It's very simple. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. John said to keep yourselves from idols. Did he not? Well, I'm afraid God's church has idolized this president, has put him on the throne, has done some people worship of Trump rather than worship of God, rather than take the space of grace that God offered us. We used the 4 years that he was in office to play politics to try to get him reelected. Now look where we are. Is the church better for it? No. No, it's not. Trump's not a good, upstanding man. Now listen, don't get me wrong. I liked a lot of his policies. I liked that he stuck up for Israel. I liked a lot of things about Trump. But he is not somebody that I'd want my kids to be around. I wouldn't. So why is that? Because he's... I read Facebook the other morning. Ticked me off. Some preacher was getting indignant because Jake Tapper took the Lord's name in vain on CNN. And then he proceeded to praise Trump over something. I'm like, have you listened to Trump's mouth? Why did you never get indignant about Trump's mouth? Because we pick and choose. Plain and simple. Verse number 10, let's move on. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Let me stop right there. I love my brother. We don't see each other often, but there's nothing I wouldn't do for my brother, my physical blood brother. A pastor friend of mine said, I didn't know you had a brother. Yes, I do. He's been here. I pray he gets right with the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'd love to serve God with my brother. Amen. But I have brotherly love toward him. How much more should we have brotherly love to those that are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ? But there's not much brotherly love that goes on in churches these days. There's really not. Most churches are cold. People are cold toward one another because I got higher standards than so-and-so does. I got higher standards than Joe Tuck, so I don't want to hang around Joe Tuck because I don't want what he's got to rub off on me. But you know what? Joe Tuck may have a purer heart than me. He may not have my standards, but he may have a purer heart of love toward the Lord than me, and there's something that I can learn from Joe Tuck because he's my brother. That's brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. In honor, preferring one another. What's that mean? I am to esteem myself lower than the lowest person around. There used to be a guy that came to church here way back in the day. We've told stories about him. His name was Raymond. And Raymond came to camp one time, didn't bring any clothes with him, just had the clothes on his back, didn't shower. He was nasty. He came out of the dorm one night, clad in his underwear, with a pager clipped to his underwear. Mind you, there was girls out in the lounge, and our youth director at the time said, "Raymond, get back in there. There's girls out here." "Oh, what? Okay." He wasn't all there. But you know what? You know what we didn't do? We didn't esteem him better than ourselves. We used to make fun of Raymond. We didn't want him on that trip. You know what Pastor did? Pastor said, "Just tell him you're the bus driver, Raymond, so you can eat for free." He'd go in, "I'm the bus driver." He'd eat for free. Pastor was the bus driver. He paid for his own meals, and he let Raymond eat for free. He esteemed Raymond better than himself. He was setting an example for us young guys, me and Samson, with a head full of self-righteousness and no use for people that were below us. He was setting an example. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to find the people of low estate and say they're better than we are? What about the liberal that you disagree with? Are you willing to treat them like they're better than you? You know, you can preach the gospel to them if you treat them like they're better than you, if they think you really care. You know what Ephesians 4:32 says? It says, "Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Yeah. That's what it said. That's Bible. But we'd rather go to the Old Testament with all the do's and don'ts and all the rules that we can force on other people because it's easier. People like an instruction manual rather than a heart check. The Jews did too, and guess what? When the man came to deliver them from it, they chose the law rather than what Jesus Christ was offering. Verse number 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I always tell people this, the best way to make sure a Christian's not your friend is to go into business with them. Say, why is that? Because Christians are looking for a deal. A lot of Christians, the reason they'll hire you to do work for them if they know that you can work. I got a buddy, and he's constantly working for Christians, and he's constantly getting ripped off by them. And bro, when are you going to stop working for all these church people that are just wanting to rip you off? Say, what's it all? They don't want to pay a fair wage. They want to use somebody. And if you don't have time, if you've got a paying gig and you want to get to the guy that's ripping you off later, guess what he'll do? He'll drag your name through the mud when he's the one that did you wrong. That's why it's better not to go into business with church people or with family. But you know what? We could if we treat them right. If we treat each other right, we could. You know, I a lot of the kids work with Ken during chicken season. And I, you know what I appreciate about Brother Ken? I appreciate that he buys the kids dinner. He pays them a little wage, gives them a little money in their pocket. He treats them right. You know what those kids want to do? They look forward. I can tell you this. My nieces look forward to going to Brother Ken's. Now, they don't like picking up dead chickens, but they always have a good time with Ken and Tiffany and McKay. They always do. They always come back happy, Brother Ken, and I appreciate that. I appreciate you treating them right. Matter of fact, I've never heard of Brother Ken treating people that have worked for him wrong. Never have. And that's the right attitude to have. Rejoicing in hope. Let me read that again. Rejoicing in hope. What's our hope? We're getting out of here. Jesus Christ is our hope. He's coming to get us. But we're so down in the America's done for. Honey, America was done for 50 years ago. Why are we so down now? Yeah, it was a drag. Our bunch lost the election. But you know what? It was an election. There'll be another one. Oh, no, there won't. Democracy is dead. Get over yourself. And what if it is? What's our hope? Is it America? Or is it Jesus Christ? A pastor friend of mine said this over the summer, and it rubbed me wrong. And I got thinking about it and listening to people talk. I'm like, he's right. He said this nationalistic gospel that we preach is killing the real gospel. Yeah, it is. Our hope is in Christ, not Donald Trump. He's a loser now. He's done winning. Get over it. I'm making friends, ain't I? Patient in tribulation. What if it comes? Listen, I want to tell you something. A few of us were in the hospital because of the China virus, the Kung flu. A few of us were there. I was in the hospital for 6 days. In the ICU, and I was hooked up to all kinds of different things. I had to sleep with this big old face mask on at night that blew air into my mouth. The other option was a ventilator, and Jay Cray was not doing the ventilator. No. Mm-mm. I said, I'll suffer with them. Can I say this? It was tribulation. Tribulation is not necessarily persecution. Tribulation can be the trial of life. But I thank God for, I wasn't enjoying it then, but coming out of it, I thank God for the trial of my life. So why is that? Because I had such special time with the Lord. Some special time in His Word. Some special time to evaluate life and where it was going and what I was doing. Tribulation does work patience, whether you like it or not. April had that cancer. That was tribulation. But I guarantee you ask her now and she'll say she's stronger because of it. My mom went through it. She's stronger. We go through these things. And yeah, it hurts going through it. But the goal is to come out the other end a little stronger for it. You know, I got a little more pep in my step now. I sit down and play the piano on Sundays and Wednesdays here at church, and I think, man, what a gift. And I get excited. It's not just, oh, playing the piano. No, man, I lived another week to play the piano. I can't wait till my voice heals all the way so I can sing again and so I can use the gifts that God gave me to help other people to worship Him. I don't take it for granted like I did, like I used to. And yes, I did take it for granted. Watch this one. Continuing instant in prayer. Instant in prayer. You know what tribulation does? It makes you learn how to pray. I guarantee you April can pray for people with cancer better than she used to be able to. April Mitchell and Laura Morseberger can pray for widows better than they used to. Michael Shane can pray for people that's lost a daddy better than he used to. Amen. So why is that? Tribulation help you pray. Amen. I don't like it. It's true. Watch this one. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. How many of you heard this one? Healthcare is a human right. You ever heard that one? I don't believe it. I do believe that healthcare is a human obligation. It's a moral obligation. Say, what do you mean by that? We take up offerings in the church sometime to help with people's medical bills. That's good, and that's right, and that's just. And we take up offerings to help our Christian brothers and sisters if they're going through a hard time. And you know what? That's good, and that's right, and that's just. And that's taking care of the necessity of the saints. But so many people want the government to do that. If churches and people would do what they should. Watch this one. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Ah, but these dumb liberals, these dumb Democrats, they're out of their minds. Yeah, but hey, if one of them came to you and said hello, would you cuss them out? Is that the Christian thing to do? Oh, but they're terrible and they're destroying our country. They're people. They're misguided people. If Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez walked in this church right now, I would hope she'd feel the love of God here. I'd hope she'd leave having heard the gospel. I do. So, but they're persecuted. Yeah, but we've got a moral obligation to them. But that's just Bible. I mean, what's the Bible now? Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. It's hard for me to weep with people that weep. I have a hard time going to funerals. So why is that? Because I cut up all the time there. A lot of them are crazy, especially the ones pastor drags me into. He allows them to be crazy. It's funny. But sometimes you got to weep with those who weep. Sometimes you got to put an arm around them. And maybe you don't know what they're going through. But maybe they just want to feel your tears mingle with theirs. People rejoice. Don't be skeptical of them. Rejoice with them. Now here's where the Lord started to really jump on me. In these verses. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. We covered that just a few verses ago, didn't we? Condescend to men. I miss Keith. Say, what was Keith? He was a person of low estate. Didn't have a lot of mental faculties. There was a point where we had to have intervention, and Tommy had to ask him not to sing in the choir for a little while because he wasn't showering. People were complaining. I said, what are we going to do, Tommy? Tommy said, we're going to have to talk to him. I said, well, he's your uncle. I nominate you. But you know what? One time, Ron and Carla came to me, and they said, we just want to thank you for letting Keith sing in the choir. I said, oh, it's not a problem for me. I'm glad to have him. They said, no. He used to always want to sing in the choir in his old church, and they'd never let him because he was slow. And he couldn't sing, and he was throwing them off. I said, as long as I got anything to do with the choir, Keith will always have a place here. There was that short time when he had to get his hygiene in order, but other than that, he had a place in the choir. That was a public health concern is what that was. Let me tell you what Keith would do. If pastor said, hey, we're going to dig the footers of the church and all we have is kitchen spoons to do it with. That's off the wall, I know, but do you know Keith would be there until the last spoonful of dirt was turned? Yep, that's it. When he died, George said this. He said, I don't know what we're going to do at youth rally. He said, Keith always picked up the trash. No one ever had to think of it because Keith did it. People of low estate. You don't honor them? Hey, they're a blessing. They're a blessing. God, give us five Keiths. Be not wise in your own conceits. We are a conceited bunch as Bible believers. We're arrogant. We got the King James, the perfect word of God. Yeah, and we're conceited about it too. Someone quotes a verse to you that's not King James, and you'll be the first to correct them. Rather than just say, oh, they did the best they could. I'm sure they love the Lord too. And you know what else we do? We find these gurus with the latest and greatest theories. The latest and greatest dates of the rapture or things to come or this and that and the other thing. And we hitch our cart to their wagon. And we follow them. Do you know the Lord could show us what he wants us to know through that book too? Amen. I'm going to tell you the best thing. And I love Dr. Ruckman. I appreciate his teaching. I miss him. And I'm glad I went to school at PBI. Glad I sat under Dr. Ruckman. But you know what the best thing for me was? When I first started reading my Bible, there was no commentaries in Braille. There was no Kindle. There was no reference material. I had to read the book without explanation. I had to let the book explain itself because I couldn't just run to the commentaries. And you know what? I can now. But I've learned before I run to the gurus, before I run to Ruckman or Larkin or Schofield or any of those guys, I want to let Scripture interpret itself. So I want to be right. Brother Mike is good at challenging our thinking on Sunday mornings. So I don't agree with Brother Mike. I don't agree with him on everything. I don't have to. But you know what he does? He makes me think. When he dropped the bomb on me a couple of years ago, and he went through it a little bit, and I wish he'd teach it some time in Sunday school or take a couple of Sunday nights and teach it, about how the King James Bible was not a translation, but an interpretation. And he's got Scripture to back it up. When? He mentioned it. But he's got Scripture to back. And we were riding in his vehicle to church a couple years ago. He was here for a meeting. We were riding in his vehicle, and he talked to me about that. And at first, because I'm so used to saying translation, 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 it rubbed on me. But God would not let me sleep that night. So I went through that book. And you know what I found? There was joy because someone helped me with a subject. And you know what it's helped me to do? It's helped my defense of the book even more now. Because somebody dared to think a little bit outside the little box. And the Holy Ghost bore witness and said, that's right. That's right. I don't trust, just blindly trust what the preacher says. I want to prove it. So why is that? Because there was an old man, don't trust me, man. Don't trust me. I could be leading you astray. Look at the book, man. He told us not to trust. He told us to look at the book. That's how we was trained. But we heap to ourselves teachers having itching, you know. Yeah, we do. We find the latest and greatest. And if you watch the internet prophets, can I say with charity that you are that word that Brother Mike's trying not to say on Sunday mornings? Verse number 17. We're almost done. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Let's go back and read that again. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Yeah. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Yeah, but Lord, he did me wrong. Verse number 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you. You know what Paul's saying to these Romans? This is going to be hard for you, but live peaceably with all men. All men? All men. Is that what it says? Is that what the correct interpretation of the Word of God says? All men? What about atheists? What about Democrats? It says all men. It says all men. Say, what's it about? It's about our personal testimony. Well, he said he was a Christian, but man, he yelled at me and fussed at me because I didn't believe just the same way he did. I'm not interested in what he's got. You know what we do when we try, when we don't try to live peaceably? We make the cause of Christ to stink. And I'm guilty. And so are you. So I'm Italian. I don't have quite the check on my temper that I should sometimes, many times. I get frustrated with people. I've been a poor witness. So have you. Because we don't live peaceably like we should with all men. This is New Testament. New Test Paul. Dearly beloved. I love him. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Don't get even. We always got to get even. But if we'd learn to walk away, Lord, you handle it. Do you know that every situation I've put in the Lord's hands to handle, everyone that's ever done me wrong, that I've said, Lord, you're going to have to handle it. Can I tell you he's handled it? And many times we've both grown from the experience. And a few times I've even made friends with the people that did me wrong. Imagine that. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. I don't know who your enemy is. But if he shows up at your door, it says you're supposed to feed him. It doesn't say feed him what, but no, I'm kidding. It says you're supposed to feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. What's that mean? Man, that guy, I hate that guy, but he's been nothing but kind to me. I guess I can't hate him so much anymore. Yeah. It's just about being a Christian. That's what it's about. It's about being a Christian. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Remember that message Samson preached a few years ago? Just a real simple thought, and he preached, go do good. Anybody remember that? Go do good. Tell you a quick story and I get out of the way. Back in the day, I could tell you a couple stories of how me and Samson were absolutely graceless toward people. And pastor had to stage interventions and rebuke us. But a couple come to mind. I remember one day we were sitting in the house. And I'm going to use this for an example. He's here, and I know he's not going to think ill of me now. But we were a little sideways at Squiggy when he started that church over there. And where was that Methodist church? Is that what it was? We was a little upset. He left, and he started that thing, and we felt a little bit betrayed by Squiggy. And one day, me and Samson were sitting in the house talking, and we're both like, we ain't going over there to help Squiggy. Man, he left our church. We feel like he left our church wrong. We're airing our grievances unto the pastor. Pastor's famous words to us was, shut up, boys. He said, you know what? He said, you talk bad about Brother Squeaky now. He said, what about if that church goes bust and he needs a soft place to land? He ain't going to want to come back here if he hears the way y'all talk about him. You know what happened a few years later? Church didn't work out. Brother Squeak needed a soft place to land. You know why he came back here? Because he knew we loved him. But he might not have come back if me and Samson had kept carrying that bitterness. If someone hadn't crawled all over us. I'm glad Squeaky came back. Y'all don't know how much I missed him while he was gone. Maybe that's why we were so hurt. Because we loved him and we missed him. But I'm glad we got straightened out. What we thought was evil, what we thought was wrong, preacher got us to the right way of thinking. You know, I think I even went over there and sang for him a couple times after that. In that little church, Gary Lutrick went and preached over there, and I went and sang over there and played some piano for him. Tried to help as much as I could. Say, why is that? I don't want to see my brother fail. But if it was left up to us young boys with about enough wisdom to fill a thimble, we would have. Just talking about being a Christian tonight. Just sharing some verses with you that crawled all over me. Verses we don't obey, they're verses we overlook. And the verses we need to read. I'll say this. You will never understand the mind of Christ toward the church unless you spend a little time in Romans and Galatians. You'll never understand it. Don't overlook those two books. They got treasures in them. Treasures for you and me. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Amen. Thank you for the rebuke the other day. I needed it. Thank you for your love. Help us to obey your word more and better. And help us not to get in the way of what you're doing. We're professionals at getting in the way of what you're doing. Help us not to. Help this year be a better year at Faith Baptist Church. Amen. For the gospel, for unity, for growth with one another. We need one another. Lord, how we need one another. I need everybody here. And everybody here needs everybody else. And we need each other to stand. And we need each other to pray. And we need each other to worship with. And we need each other to grow with. Help us to appreciate what we've got. Help us to dig more in that book. To dig more into it. And Lord, let it change us. Not from the outside in, but from the inside out.